Thank you so much, Lynette. That was beautiful. Our speaker this morning is Kara Croft. She is from Louisville, Kentucky. I hope I pronounced that right. Louisville. Anyway, she's from Kentucky. Say that. She lives there with her husband of 17 years, Brian. They have four children, one son and three daughters. They're currently homeschooling. She enjoys teaching and speaking, photography, and coffee. And there is a mocha cheesecake out there, so you might have to try that. Her husband, Brian, has been serving at their church as a pastor for 10 years. Last year, her husband, Brian, and her co-wrote a book called The Pastor's Family. She's looking forward to opportunities God is opening up to be able to encourage other pastors' wives. So no better opportunity than right now. If you come up, Kara, I'll say a prayer, turn it over to you. Let us pray. Father God, just now I bring your servant Kara to you. I thank you for her willingness to share with us today. I pray that her words would be yours and that our hearts would be open and receptive to what she has to say. Bless her just now, and thank you again for your many, many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm so thankful to be here with you all this morning. I've been fighting a bit of a cold this week, so if I start coughing, I have lots of cough drops. Fortunately, I have a microphone, so I don't have to project too loudly. I am very excited to be here with you all this morning, and I thank you for welcoming to your group. I hope you've had a good conference week to this point. Now that we are ladies, I'm going to start by saying to you all, good morning, and you respond with?
Good morning.
Good, you guys have voices, and it's important to know you have a voice because we're going to use them today. I believe that we best learn from each other, so I stand up here knowing I am a young pastor's wife. My husband has been in ministry our entire marriage, but only senior pastor for the last 10 years, and I feel like in a lot of ways, I am just learning so much. So I feel like we can learn from each other this morning. And as I was preparing to speak this week, I've been struck with, what do I talk about with a group of pastors' wives? There are so many things that we have in common, and yet we are very different people. So I went to the Bible to look at, what does the Bible say about the role of a pastor's wife? And guess what I found? Nothing. There is, as far as I can tell, there's only one qualification to being a pastor's wife. You know what that is? You have to be married to a pastor. And then congratulations, you are now a pastor's wife. Whether you have the gift of speaking or teaching or hospitality, it doesn't matter how we're gifted. We are all very different. There are plenty of qualifications for the pastor, but all we had to do was agree to get married. And some of us didn't even know we were marrying pastors when we married them. I am one of those people. Though Brian was in ministry, he promised me he was not going to be a senior pastor. And here I am today, 10 years later. But that is a whole nother story we can get into. So as I was thinking about what in the world do I address you guys about, I started thinking about the expectations that we have, because there is no biblical covering of what is a pastor's wife, and yet how many of us feel this role that we have been asked to play when we take on being a pastor's wife. And I started thinking, I wonder what these ladies are going to expect for me to say today. I don't even know. And then it hit me, expectations. Don't we feel expectations all around us? I have an expectation of what I think you guys want from me. I have an expectation of what I want to say. But how often do our expectations meet reality? Not often. I can remember when I was a child, and I'd been to SeaWorld with my family. And as every kid, I'm sure, I watched these people swimming with the dolphins, and I thought, that's what I want to do when I grow up. How much fun to get in the water and swim with those dolphins, right? That was my expectation. It's just going to be fun because I get to swim and play with the dolphins. There's one little problem. I hate dealing with fish. I would go fishing with my brother often as a child. It's one of my favorite childhood memories. And anytime I caught a fish, I made him take it off the hook because I didn't want to touch it. So my mom had told me, if you want to swim with the dolphins, you should be a marine biologist. And in my head, my expectation was, if I'm a marine biologist, I get to swim with the dolphins. Reality was, I'm going to have to deal with fish. And I'm going to have to touch them, and I'm going to have to dissect them, and that's not anything I want to do. So often we go into a role or a job thinking about what we expect it to be. So what is an expectation? The definition of expectation is a strong belief that something will happen or will be the case in the future. A strong belief that something will happen. We are surrounded by expectations all day long, whether they're from our children or our spouses. And expectations can often turn into burdens that we pick up and we carry. So today, what I would like us to focus on are three areas that I think as pastors' wives, we see expectations placed on us. Now, there are many areas, I am well aware. I'm just going to cover three today. Okay, and what I would like for us to do so that you can have an awareness of where we're going is I'm going to kind of give you these three general categories, and I want you thinking about how do those expectations show up for you and for your situation, because we're going to talk about those a little bit more, and that's where participation is going to come in. Yay! All right, so the very first area that we may feel a source of expectation is from our churches. And I'm going to try to not fall down the steps. No, it's all good. Church. Okay. I don't know about you, but when my husband took the role as pastor, our church had an idea of what that would look like for me. Sometimes we see those expectations show up very obviously. The pastor that had been at the church before me, his wife never came to the service, ever. So when my husband was hired, I know it's shocking, right? She wasn't even a member of their church. So the fact that I came to the service already, I was a step ahead of the last pastor's wife, right? Exactly. But there is already an expectation. They wanted to hire a man whose wife was going to come and be a part of their service, okay? So sometimes those expectations from our church can be formed by the previous pastor's wife. Sometimes that goes in our favor, sometimes it doesn't. That expectation quickly turned into not just being at a service, but being at all the services, okay? I don't know if any of you have felt that weight. Sometimes expectations can be given to us in the form of criticism. They may be picking apart how our children are acting or things that they would like to see changed about the service, and somehow we might have the inside line to make that change. And so what our members are expecting, they kind of pick at us to try to accomplish those expectations. Sometimes the expectations can come not just from our church. Sometimes we feel the expectations also coming from our husbands. Our husbands often are excited about going into these new situations, taking on this body of believers to shepherd. And who better to help them than their spouse that's right there with them, right? They know our giftings. Our husbands know us well. And so a lot of times they're excited about the ways that our roles may play. One of the things that has been important to Brian as we have been at our church has been hospitality. He loves to have people in our home, which is great for him, except he's not the one cooking and cleaning and bathing the children and cleaning again after they've spilled everything that you've just cleaned up. That's not the weight of what he carries. What he carries is we get to sit down and have fellowship. So there's this expectation then placed on me. Now, there are many dual parts of that, and we'll get to it in a minute with those expectations, but there is a time where he sees a role, he sees a need that needs to be filled, and the first person he looks to is me. What do you know? Hey, so-and-so just had a baby. We should take them a meal. we should take them a meal. Great. Well, when we cook the meal, then we can take them the meal. There are times where he'll say, our women's small group needs someone to speak to them. That's great. Our small group does need. Let's talk about who that could be. So there are ways that our husbands definitely will push an expectation on us because they want us serving alongside of them. And then there is one more place that we feel the weight of expectations. And that comes from ourself. Those weight of expectations weigh on us, but don't we have our own expectations as well? When your husband took on the role of being a pastor, how many of you already had a picture in your head of what your ministry would look like? I know I did. Guess what? My ministry looks nothing like what I thought it was going to. When my husband took our church, we had a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and I was pregnant with our third child at that time. Doing things like this, leaving midweek and leaving the children, was almost impossible at that point. My ministry was very different than what I had expected it to be. There were needs that I saw around me that I wanted to meet because I wanted to care for this congregation. And I realized very quickly I could not meet all those needs. And to deal with disappointment from people because I've not met their expectations was very, very difficult. It still is. So as I present these expectations to you, you need to know I'm not standing up here because I've figured out perfectly how to deal with them. But I am in the very midst of working through how do I let go of expectations. So we see we have these three areas: expectations from our church, our husbands, and ourself. And we have them weighing down on us. But the problem is that we can't meet them all. We are a group of broken ladies. We do not meet all of the expectations that are placed. We have had things that have happened to us that have left scars and have been painful. And sometimes the expectations we have on ourselves is an effort to try to heal those wounds or even protect ourselves from being hurt by people who are disappointed. We think that if we can make others happy, we will be happy ourselves. But the truth is that we aren't. Because if I serve in just the right way and at just the right time, I will still disappoint somebody. I cannot make them all happy. And so then where does that leave us? So let's talk a minute about what some of these expectations look like. So remember that I said earlier, good morning. You all said good morning back to me. And I did say y'all. I am from Kentucky. Y'all. Sometimes my mom's from Minnesota, so sometimes, you know, I can bring out the northern accent, yeah. But other times I fall into the y'all twang, so I'm a little mixed up in my accent at times. So what I want you all, you guys, you ladies, to do this morning is to share what are some expectations that you have felt placed on you. And we're just going to write down a few of those. Thinking about in the category of our church and our husbands and ourselves, what are some ways you have felt expectations? And you can just speak up right where you are. So doing the church bulletin, right? Good. I don't even know if I spelt bulletin right. Okay, close. Where you sit. I'm going to shorten that to hospitality. Every Sunday. Actually, I'll just call it Hospitality Sunday. Good. Hosting the guest speaker, yes. Don't worry, I'm going home right when this is done. You guys don't have to do anything for me today. What else? All the activities. We have to be there when something's going on, right? Good. Where else do you feel expectations? Obedient children. Since mine are naturally obedient, it's not as much of a... I'm kidding. Okay. Can I just kind of say counseling? But yes, a lot of times it is, if there is a hard, difficult, it's not just so-and-so is mad at me. Sometimes it's that. But other times it's my husband has left and we're trying to help pick up the pieces, right? So I'm just going to write counseling. But yes. Yes, knowledge. The number of times that someone has said to me, I think after 10 years I finally trained them, but the number of times someone has said, what time was that baby shower at in 2 months? And I'm going, there's a baby shower in 2 months? I didn't even know it was on the calendar. What else? Fix problems. We are problem solvers. And if there's a problem, we should be able to get it fixed. Good. The way we dress. Good. What else? Visiting people in the hospital. You mean we're not? Cheerful, absolutely. Good, what else? Leading the women's ministry. I'm gonna look at this, I'm already gonna have to turn pages. I love it. Whether we are gifted to do it or not, it's just expected that we're going to lead the ministry. And I'm going to put children and women's on there because I think those are usually the big two. But yes, definitely. Public speaking. How many times have you been in a situation where you're at a ladies' luncheon with other people, and someone stands up and says, we're going to have a prayer before we start our meal. And there you stand. All right, yes, I will pray before the meal, right? It's just expected. It's not even really asked. It's, of course, if they were to ask you, would you lead the prayer for our meal? And you say, no. But it's an expectation, right? What would happen if we said no? No, I'm not. You can ask them. I'm not going to do it. What else? Sorry. Nice and friendly. We should be the first one to welcome the visitors, right? The first, second face they see behind our husbands. How am I going to write that on there? I don't even know. Don't say the wrong thing. Whatever that might be, I don't even know we know what the wrong thing is until we've said it half the time. It's kind of like when someone says, well, they say, well, who's they? What's the wrong thing? Yeah, good.
uh,
Yes, the running joke is my husband waiting on me or am I waiting on my husband? Usually it's me waiting. Yes. I don't, yeah, same thing. Last one to leave. I'll put last one out. First one in. That's right. Last one out, first one in. Oh man, now I can't be late either. Huh? I'm in big trouble. Maybe that's why we have to be the first ones in, right? Can't be late. Single parenting. When we first started at our church, after I had my daughter, my third born, and she was a newborn baby, and I'm sitting in the church service with a four-year-old son, two-year-old, very strong-willed daughter, and my newborn baby, who has to eat in the middle of the service. And so I get up to feed the baby because it's hard to feed a baby in a pew with a four-year-old, two-year-old, and, you know, don't want to expose myself to the church. So I leave to go and feed the baby, and then I come back, and then one of the ladies says, "Why is your wife getting up and down out of church so much?" Well, unless you want my child to scream through the rest of the service. Yeah. So trying to juggle handling all the children on my own. You know, so many of our, because we are in Louisville, depending on where you're from, we have two seminaries in our town, and we will have seminary people, folk, come and join our church. And the wives will come in and say, "Oh, my husband stayed home with the child because they were sick." Yeah, that's me. When your husband becomes a pastor, that gets to be you because they don't get to stay home. Can't preach this morning because my son is sick and my wife is coming to church instead. Doesn't really go over very well, does it? What other expectations? What are some that you've placed on yourself? Perfect children. Having all the answers. Having it all together. Are we allowed to struggle? I mean, I know what the Sunday school answer is, which is, oh, yes, of course. But are we really allowed? Do we allow ourselves to struggle in front of our church members? What else? Close friends. So trying to do what everyone else is doing, right? Ooh, that's a good word. Scratch this. I'm going to put down peer pressure. Man, I'm going to have to turn pages again. I love it. Always supporting my husband. Not that we don't want to be unsupportive women. But sometimes our husbands make wrong choices. Always supporting my husband.
Make sure you spend your finances
I'm going to put wise finances. Anything else that you guys are thinking about? Okay. Sorry, what? Okay, since I'm not a Mennonite, what does that mean? Oh. Well, you know what? Southern Baptists love to eat. So if you guys love to cook and we love to eat, it sounds like we need to do a lot more together. I see a good solution working here. You can teach us how to cook. We'll teach you how to eat. How does that sound? Cook like a Mennonite. Keeping the perfect house. Especially when we have to have people over every Sunday, right? Which means the house has to be perfect before we leave for Sunday morning. I don't know about you guys, but Sunday morning for me is like craziness just trying to get out the door, let alone having the house picked up in the process. Good. Anything else? Okay. This is what we're going to do. I have brought with me my friend Margaret, who is also a fellow pastor's wife. So Margaret, I'm going to ask Margaret to come up here and join me, and she's going to help me out this morning. Will you come and join me today? She will. I love Margaret. Margaret, so when I got here this morning, I knew I was going to have Margaret help me, and when we got in the car this morning, she didn't know that I was going to ask her to help me. But guess what? I had an expectation that Margaret was going to help me. Here's my expectation, because I've placed it on Margaret. Margaret, hey, Margaret, will you go to lunch with me when we're done? Of course you will, because you've brought me with you, right? There you go. Hey, Margaret, I need to go by the hospital and visit one of our church members. Will you go to the hospital with me?
Yes.
Yes, she says begrudgingly. Hey, Margaret, my house needs to be cleaned. Will you come over and help me clean my house today? Yeah, all right, good. Woo, good. Look at Margaret. What's happening to poor Margaret? Her hands are full, aren't they? Yeah, let's see. What else can we do? Margaret, can you cook like a Mennonite? Because I'm really hungry. That's not the right answer. What's the right answer? Yes, because Margaret's right. Gosh, her hands are getting kind of full. I tell you what, you can put some of those rocks in here, because this will make it a little bit easier for you to carry some of those. Now, don't hold it over your toes, because if the bag breaks and it falls on your feet, I will really feel bad. Okay. Let's see. What are some other expectations that I can put on Margaret? Margaret. I saw where you were sitting this morning, so will you make sure that you sit up front with me every time we're in church?
Sure.
Oh, all right, sweet. Let's see. Oh, Margaret, I'm really sad because my husband and I are having big problems. Can I talk to you about it? Yeah? Okay, yeah, that's a heavy one. We're going to throw it on there. How are you doing? Is it getting heavy?
Okay.
Well, I only have a few more expectations in here that I can. What's happening to Margaret? She is getting a good workout. I know she's strong, and for her strength, I'm not going to keep loading her up. But, well, did I say you can put those expectations down? No, I haven't said you can put down. Look, I got another one too. Keep holding on to them, because this is what we do. When Margaret's hands are full, can she serve well? Think about all of this that she's carrying around. It's heavy. It's hanging on her. How many of you feel like that in ministry at times? Do you allow those expectations to weigh you down and to crush you? Do you feel the burden and the pressure hanging on your shoulders? Okay. How do you think she's physically feeling when she's holding all of those? tired, run down. How many of us have felt like that? I have. Tired and run down, right? Is she able to walk around and to function well when she's carrying all those expectations? So as her friend, guess what I want to do? When I see someone walking around burdened like this, what do I want to do? Well, I'm going to come over and I'm going to pick up a few, right? So that she doesn't have so much to carry. But now look at what I'm doing. I'm carrying the burdens. She's carrying the burdens. And biblically, aren't we called to carry each other's burdens? Right? So I'm taking some off of her, but now I'm weighed down. What do we do with these things that are weighing us down? How do we handle all of these expectations that are placed upon us one after the other, and we can't meet them all? We can't do it, ladies. God did not design us to be able to carry all of these burdens. He did not design us to meet all of these expectations. God made us with limitations for a reason, because he did not make us God, right? He made us human. Okay, so my best advice to Margaret isn't give me your burden, but it's to do what? We're laying our burdens down. Thank you. You can sit down. We're laying our burdens down. We have one who has carried our burdens for us so that we don't have to. When Christ was here, think about Christ's ministry. You see him going to the crowds of people, right? Did he meet every expectation placed upon him? He didn't. The people wanted a king to come now, and Christ didn't come as the king how they expected him to come. He came how God had called him to come. We see Christ at times withdrawing to the mountain to pray by himself. We see him withdrawing to spend time with his Father, to lay down those burdens. In Matthew 11, 28, Christ says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy burden, and I will give you what? And I will give you rest." Now, there are a lot of things that burden us, other than just expectations. Expectations is one part of it. It's one picture of it. But just in the 10 minutes that we spent, 5-10 minutes we spent talking about it, you guys came up with 3 pages of expectation after expectation after expectation that is weighing and burdening you. And Christ says, "Lay those down at my feet." Can we keep people from expecting things from us? No, because we can't control them. All we can control is what we do with them. Okay, so what do? We lay them down at the cross of Christ because he bore our burdens. And as Hebrews 12 says, he is a sympathetic high priest. He is a Christ who understands what it feels like to have demands on your time and your energy. He felt the restrictions of being human because he came as a baby. So he can sympathize with what we are trying to carry. It is easy to dress up meeting everyone's expectations and to make it look holy and to make it look beautiful. We are sacrificing ourselves for the church. And don't hear me wrong. Serving our church should be sacrificial. But to what price are we sacrificing ourselves? Are we really serving sacrificially to honor God? Or are we trying to please our husband and trying to please our churches and trying to please ourselves instead of trying to please God? Galatians 1:10. Excuse me while I pull it up. I have this wonderful little thing, and the font's big enough I can read it. So Galatians 1, verse 10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Who are we trying to please? My bigger question to you is, what is the danger of trying to carry around all of these expectations that are placed on us? What is the danger of trying to meet them? And let me share with you briefly the danger that I have run into. For the last 3 years of our ministry, I have struggled greatly with depression. Now, my depression is not purely because of everyone's expectations. There are many other factors that are involved. However, the fact that I cannot please everyone around me, I can't make them happy. And you know what that makes me feel like? It makes me feel like a failure. And at some point, I started looking to God and assuming that because I couldn't please anyone else, I must not be pleasing to him either. And he must see me as a failure as well. We can so quickly take people's thoughts on what we should do and turn them into, this must be what God is expecting of me. This is what God is asking of me. And so for the last 3 years, I have struggled with being in such a dark and lonely place. And I have to tell you, it's been painful and it's been hard. And it's been hard to fight out of. A few months ago, I was able to go on a retreat weekend. I was very privileged to have the opportunity to go on this weekend. And one of the biggest things I came away with for the weekend is that I was able to lay down those burdens because I had held on to them so tight with both hands, thinking if I can just do these things, if I can just meet these things, I will finally be happy. I'll feel better. If I can just get my house clean, the depression will lift. If I can just go walk enough at the Y, I'll feel better. And it wasn't working. Because the biggest way for me to overcome those things isn't to hold on to them. It was to let go of them. It was to go, okay, God, I can't do it. Ladies, it is okay for us to say, I can't do this. It is okay for us to say to our church, I can't do it. I know you want me there when the doors open. I can't be there. They may be disappointed, but guess what? That's their problem, not mine, because I can't do it. I cannot do it all. Our church needs to see a struggle. They need to know that we get as overwhelmed as they do. They need to know that we are walking just like they are. We are learning just like they are. They try to look to us as an example, and the best example we can give them is an example of a woman who is broken and humble and hurting and has a great need for our God. Because when we have it all together, when we're doing it all, guess who we don't need anymore? We don't need God. They need to see our need for Christ, just like our children need to see us need Christ. Our church needs to see us need Christ. So I've had to walk this road of depression with my church. And I've been open with them about this is where I'm struggling. And guess what? I've had so many ladies who have said, I was so ashamed of what I was struggling with until you shared it. We help to overcome the shame of struggling when we are honest with our own. Now, is it risky? Better believe it. It's a risk to be vulnerable in front of people, just like I'm being vulnerable in front of you today. I'm taking a risk. But I'm taking a risk because I trust that my God is healing my heart. And I trust that my God is my protector. And I trust that my God is my every need. He fills my every need, my every want, my every desire. He takes those burdens off of me so that I don't have to carry them. And then I have the choice. We choose. After my retreat weekend, I had a choice. Do I continue to leave these burdens here? Because I tell you what happened was I had this great weekend, and I came off the weekend going, yay, God, I feel great, woohoo, right? I can do this. And I get home, and the first thing I'm met with is, hey, Mom, guess what? I don't have any clean clothes. Oh, man. All right. Well, I got to go do laundry now. Okay. Hey, Mom, guess what? I have to go to soccer practice. Okay, I got this. Hey, guess what? Person from the church called and Coleman passed away. we have a funeral to go to. All right. And all of a sudden, I'm picking up all these burdens all over again because it's so easy to do. And so every morning, I have a choice. What am I going to do with these? And one of the things I've come away with from my retreat weekend is it's not a one-time fix. I can lay down the burdens right this minute, and 5 minutes from now, I've picked them all back up again. It is a continuous act of letting go and laying down. Continuous act. So as we close this morning from our session, I want you guys to think about, what is it costing you to continue to hold on to and carry those burdens and those expectations that have been placed on you? What is it costing you to hold on to them instead of giving them over to Christ? And what would it feel like to be free from that weight that's pressing down on us? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you not only sent your Son to die for our sins, but you sent him in such a way that he understands what it is like to feel the needs and expectations of those around us. God, you made us with limitations, but you also made us with beautiful gifts to be able to serve you. God, help us to know how we can live in a way that is honoring to you, but is not one that feels responsible to carry the things that we see around us and the needs that we see. Father, we give to you all of the needs that we see because you are the only one who can meet those. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Much for